Welcome to Pop Tech Jam, the independent audio magazine about consumer technology, pop culture, the game of life, and the life of games. I'm J.D. Beersdorfer.
And I'm Pedro Rafael Rosado.
This week, author Phil Simon joins us on the line to talk about how Google, Amazon, Apple, and Facebook are extending the reach of their platforms. But first, some news.
News. Big, news. Chunky block of news.
This is like the Chicago deep dish pizza of news here.
Yes, indeed. You can tell how much news we have. Well, you personally, because they can't see me out there. You could tell by the amount of stuff I have lined up.
I know.
Here.
This is like a wallpaper factory.
I feel kind of guilty, but we do recycle.
Yes. Recycling is very important.
It is indeed.
All right. Well, without further ado, then, let's dive into some news. Perhaps let's get the lighter news out of the way first.
Okay.
As you know, the rumor mill is grinding at mock speed these days ever yes. since the arrival of the Google Nexus 7 tablet. Seems to have spurred a lot of reports that both Amazon and Apple are working on updates to their own tablet lines. Like, yep. We've been hearing the iPad mini rumor for 2 years now, since the first one came out. Hmm. And that one still refuses to go away. People will debunk it. Somebody said, no, I read on this report. This is Pliers making these little screens.
But you get the sense it's picking up steam.
Yeah. There seem to be bigger, heavier news organizations maybe weighing in this time right. that they've heard something too. But I guess the rumor on that one is Apple is producing a so-called iPad mini with a 7 to 8 inch screen that's supposed to be out later in this year. This is obviously meant to be a Kindle Fire killer, perhaps right. take the Google Nexus 7 with it. Don't know if it's true or not. If they did perhaps produce a smaller tablet with a smaller price tag, I think people might buy it.
People might buy it. But didn't Steve Jobs hate the idea?
Yeah, Steve Jobs was very against it. He thought the iPad was just the size it needed to be at the 9.7-inch diagonal.
I kind of agree.
We'll see if the market has shifted. All Things D website, though, is saying that Amazon is looking to put out a thinner Kindle Fire with a sharper screen, perhaps to go after some more of this tablet market. They're saying that if it's going to happen third quarter of this year, which is when we start to see everything flooding the channels for the holiday sales.
Right. Yeah, you know what? They really did need to do something about the screen. And it is thick.
Yeah. Well, it was a kind of a rush job, right, the first one when it came
out. As far as I
understand,
when you
bought your Fuego last year, it seemed a bit off the shelf in terms of parts.
Fuego. I like saying that.
I know. Yeah, I think they should really hire you to do some voice work
for Spanish language commercials, right?
Yeah. So anyway, there could be more tablets if these rumors are to be believed. But we'll link to some of the bigger sites that were talking about them, you know, so it does kind of give them a whiff of a little bit more credibility than just, you know, like a fan site saying, no, I heard this and I got it from this. And it's like, well, you know, if All Things D is reporting it, yeah, they probably know some people in these companies.
I think they do. Hey, don't forget Facebook smartphone.
That's true.
That's the rumor that's heating up, too. That one I don't understand.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, Facebook maybe want to work on the software there. Right. At least get your mobile app so that it doesn't take 5 minutes to open a link. But, you know, don't want to bitch.
Oh, yeah. And also the Firefox OS.
Oh, yes.
That's another one.
Yeah.
They're coming fast and furious.
I know. You got to dodge them here.
When's our tablet coming out?
Well, I think we need to do a little bit more development on it.
I think so. What about our OS?
That, I've done a little bit of dev work on it. The PopTech Jam OS.
Right.
Yeah, I wrote the name down on some paper, but we haven't really started the code yet.
So that's PTJ version 1?
Yeah. It's still in pre-alpha.
Yeah, that's it.
But we'll get there.
We'll kickstart it soon.
Yes, and we don't know what size the screen will be, but apparently these 7 to 10-inch touchscreens are very popular.
They are very.
But Microsoft is also looking at much bigger displays.
You
know how much bigger?
How big?
They're looking at like the 82 inches in size.
That's about right. That's what our tablet should be.
Yeah, it's going to be portable.
Yes.
But they recently bought the company Perceptive Pixel, which makes a lot of these really huge wall-sized touchscreens. Commonly used in fields like government, education, defense, and apparently CNN's Magic Wall.
Yeah, the Magic Wall.
That they would do for election time. That is one of those screens. But Microsoft has bought this company, and I think they're looking to see, can we make these things cheaper and more widespread so you get them into classrooms that can actually afford them?
That's a great idea.
Get them out there for people. Because I think right now it's currently like $80,000 for one of these big honking screens. So
wow, $10,000 an inch.
So maybe you lower that and regular schools could afford them too. And conference rooms and smaller companies.
Maybe we can get one too.
Yeah,
I mean, I know we're
fun.
Radio, but it'd be great to have a magic wall.
Yeah, I know. We could
just for our entertainment.
Yeah, play with the map, you know, have our own elections.
That's it. Why not have
our
own elections?
It could definitely help to pass the time in the
yes,
summer.
Yes, it would.
As expected, Microsoft has confirmed that the PC and tablet computers running its brand new Windows 8 operating system are going to arrive in October.
October, yeah.
Yeah, we were kind of thinking, you know, they tend to like the October there.
They do, yeah.
I think the betting folk are guessing October the 25th is a likely ship day, but Microsoft has not confirmed a specific day. Windows 8 is expected to hit its release to manufacturing milestone early next month. That's where the finished system goes out to original equipment manufacturers
exactly.
for installation on the fresh new machines.
Right, so, and they crank them out for the Christmas rush.
Yeah, so things are rolling there. Apple is also moving forward with its latest operating system. The company released the golden master of its forthcoming macOS 10.8 Mountain Lion / Cougar software to developers.
I love / Cougar. I've loved that golden master.
Yes, the golden master.
That's so dramatic.
It sounds almost like a Tolkien thing, you know,
yes,
like we
exactly.
have to go up to the mountain and get the golden master down. But they're thinking that this thing, you know, once it goes to the GM, to the developers,
right.
and usually it's like only 2 or 3 weeks
yeah,
until the
long.
General public can download it from the Mac App Store. But for people who want to plan ahead and maybe see what software is known to work with Mountain Lion, just based on what developers have tested, be sure to check out the Roaring Apps compatibility table. We'll have a link to that on poptechjam.com. Remember when Lion came out
yes,
and everyone
yeah.
realized Quicken didn't work and there were tears?
Yeah, yeah. And I went on a bit of a rant on our old show.
Yes, I think you had something to say about that.
I did.
So for people who do have mission-critical things, who love to update to new operating systems but then hate the fact that, oh, half of my stuff doesn't work.
Yeah, sort of like me.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe check out this page before you go gung-ho, just right. so you know what you're getting into.
Where can I find that link again?
You can find it on poptechjam.com.
Nice.
I'm going to paste it in there myself tonight.
Nice, nice, nice.
Other Apple news, as for their Safari browser that had that little incident where Google blew by its privacy settings.
Oopsie.
Expensive move on Google's part. Google is set to pay $22.5 million in fines from the Federal Trade Commission for that little indiscretion.
$22.5 million.
Yeah. You know, when the browser says do not track and you kind of ignore that and track, that there are repercussions.
Yeah, but that's like snack money for Google.
Yeah, that's probably, you know, the Freedom Machine.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, right there. But they're going to pay
still,
it.
Still, hey, it's big money.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little smack there. Don't
it's
do that
the
again.
It's the point. It's the point of it.
Yes, we must have honor.
Yes, indeed.
Speaking of honor or lack thereof, the right. DNS changer Trojan that was supposed to knock hundreds of thousands of people and their infected computers offline. Remember, there was a lot of stuff in the media at the end of last week.
Yeah, I was ready to flail my arms and run around in circles.
Yeah, it seems to have a minimal impact on I don't know anybody who personally got knocked
Me
off.
Me neither, yeah.
Most of the large ISPs reported that maybe like 1% of their customer base had it, and they were actually working with those people to get the machines cleaned up and make sure they could still connect to the internet.
Did they come up with a number? Was there like a couple of thousand, a million?
Well,
nothing?
I think F-Secure, the security company yeah. over in Europe, estimated about 47,000 computers in the U.S. Mm-hmm. were still had the stuff. So if you think 47,000 out of the millions and millions of people online.
Right.
Not that much. And that was down actually from the week before. I think it had been 70,000. And so it had dropped to 47,000 because people had, oh, I should check, see my machine has this. Oh, it does. Mm-hmm. Let me clean it off.
Wait until the last minute. That's always good.
Yeah, but you know, they took care of it.
They took care of it. That's
true. And for anyone out there who maybe doesn't know if your computer is clean or not, we'll have a link to a page where you can check this out too. If you want to just make sure you're sparkly clean there. And
Yeah. Always a good idea.
Not going to be suffering any disappointments should you try to go online.
Yeah, because you got to listen to this show.
Yeah. You know, how can you download the feed if you can't get out to the internet?
Exactly. Hello.
Yes. We have one more security note, too. There has been a flood of fake account billing notices reportedly coming from United Parcel Service. I got like 5 of them today.
I got about 5 or 6 myself. I love it. It's like you check the link and it's so obviously not UPS. It's like, folks, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah. Yeah. They ripped off the graphics. They made the cute little thing. But then there's some typos in there, too. But if you get mail from UPS, don't click on any links in the message. It just goes without saying. If you do have a UPS account and you say, well, maybe do I have issues with it, visit the site directly, ups.com. Just go there or call somebody. Do not click on one of these evil email messages.
Yeah. You know what? You're so good at this news stuff that I'm embarrassed to admit I actually had some news items.
Oh, well,
actually, I had one news item.
Well, no. Well, I know it was very close to your heart, and I think I probably just steamrolled right past
No, not at all. I was just into the whole thing. Going back to Google, they're killing iGoogle. The portal, remember?
I was kind of fond of that. I had the procrastinator's clock and I had
yes,
the moon phase
yes.
thing.
Yes, I had like 27 different news feeds that I never read.
Yeah, but still they were there. Should you want to read them, they were waiting for
right,
it.
Right, yeah. And you know, it took a little while for them to load up and crank itself up, but it was there and I liked it.
It gave you time to get some coffee while your page was loading.
I could check my horoscope.
There you go. So what was the rationale for the demise of the iGoogle?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Or
I don't
know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, well, you know what the rationale was? They went through their whole spring cleaning thing.
They do that regularly.
They do that regularly. The weird thing is they announced the spring cleaning on July 3rd, which, as folks here in the U.S. know, that's the day before the holiday of July 4th, Independence Day, which is pretty much no one checks their news. No one really bothers about anything except getting out of the office and, you know, going on their holiday.
Ready to go light things on fire. Yeah.
So, you know, those of us in the news business know that when you do something like that, you're just trying to, you know, maybe
mute the response.
Yes, mute the response, which is probably going to be negative. And surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, there was a pretty big negative response to this. People were really upset. There are like campaigns for bringing it back, don't take it away. Now, I wasn't all that upset. You know, obviously I'm being a little sarcastic about it. I did like it back in the day. We were talking about it not too long ago, the fact that portals were big back in the late 90s.
Yeah, it was your one stop when you got on the web. You could do all this stuff and then move on.
Right, you could move on, but people really dig it. So I found some alternatives. Actually, I didn't find them. PC World found them, and I thought it was interesting enough for us to share.
Yes.
And I will promise to link to these, maybe in your news bit, because it usually takes me weeks to post
maybe
stuff.
You should just send me the link and I'll put it into
I'll do that. The idea is they have alternatives, but you don't have to panic, because iGoogle isn't going away until like November of 2013.
All right. So there's a long lead time.
A very long lead time. You got like 16 months, 17 months before it goes away. So I think you'll have plenty of time to find a replacement.
All right. So there's some alternatives for people who still need the portal.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, maybe we should wrap up a little bit of news here, because we got Phil Simon coming up. When you say console gaming, people automatically think Xbox, they think PlayStation, they think the Wii.
Right.
But there's a new, potentially cheaper set-top box on the horizon.
New and cheaper.
New and cheaper. Two fabulous things together.
Yes, indeed.
It's called the Ouya console. It's expected to cost $99 and it's going to run the Android operating system.
Hold on a second. Ouya as in booyah?
I think that may be where they're going with that.
Nice, nice.
So a very enthusiastic name.
Yeah.
Enthusiastic price, $99.
$99.
The open source Android operating system. And that means that games created for Android-based smartphones and tablets can be played on this, but you can, you know, hook this thing up to your TV. So it's taking the whole gaming experience off of the mobile tiny screen back to the TV, where a lot of people feel it belongs if you're into a really immersive game.
I'm getting whiplash here. First we're on the TV, then we go to the mobile devices. Now we're back on the TV?
Well, I guess the TV was always still there for some people. You know, they need the big controllers. They need...
I love that experience. I'm sorry. I want the big screen.
Then you can get one of these, giant 82-inch screens for your gaming fun.
Nice.
This console that they're making, it's going to have a quad-core NVIDIA Tegra 3 processor, 1 gig of RAM, 8 gigabytes of storage, and output 1080p video through an HDMI slot.
Nice.
With Bluetooth and USB 2.0 for connecting external devices.
Wow.
So it's got some mojo here.
Hey,
wireless controller as well. Ouya is not charging licensing fees for developers, and every console that they sell will include a software development kit. But the developers will need to abide by one major rule, though. All games must have a free-to-play element, whether it's, you know, the time trial, the feature lock demo, or you get the micropayments and you get to move on.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah, so they're making it very open and democratic. They're
hoping the worst part is when you buy a game and it's terrible. I was going to say something else, it stinks.
Yes.
And then you're stuck with a $60 game that you'll never play.
Because they're working on the open source Android operating system, gives them a little more flexibility.
Absolutely.
Not charging the licensing fees and all that. They're hoping to launch this on March 13th. Next year, and they've got a Kickstarter page up there to help with expenses.
We need a Kickstarter page.
We need something.
Do we have anything we can, like, you know...
For our operating system.
Nice. Our operating system. PTJ.
Yeah, and your album of wedding songs, too.
Yes, that's it. That's very important.
We'll have to work on that for ourselves. But in the meantime, the Ouya page, and we're not telling you, hey, go donate. If you wanted to check out the project, there's actually a video where they talk about it. And so it's nice to kind of see how people are coming together with this.
The idea is great.
Yeah, and just affordable console gaming. Yeah. You know, you don't have to pay the $300 for the basic experience.
I'm digging that. Ouya!
Yeah, and you can have a lot of fun with the name.
I will.
That wraps up the new segment for this episode. Any of these stories you want to find out more about, just go to our show page at poptechjam.com. We will have links, including the links to Pedro's iGoogle story, which I'm going to post personally. Before we go, one last note to our lovely sponsors.
BuiltByBros.com.
The reason we are here.
They are the reason we're here. They helped us build our website. If we had a network, they would help us build that too. These guys take care of everything. Did you know that?
I had heard it because you told me. I love this all-purpose, one-stop shopping.
Right. Well, the deal is, just because your company's small doesn't mean that you can't brand yourself big. And that's what I wanted to do. I want to brand us huge. BuiltByBros.com and their BroBot. You know they have a robot?
I did not know that. We need to get it on the show.
I think we should. We should have the BroBot on the show. BuiltByBros.com. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're just getting started, if you need a website, they will build it for you. Bros. builtbybros.com.
The book, The Age of the Platform, How Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google Have Redefined Business, came out last year, but these platforms keep evolving. Phil Simon, the book's author, is on the line with me from Nevada to talk about what's new. So, Phil, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
For those who may not be familiar with the book that you wrote, can you quickly explain what makes a platform in today's business world, just to catch up a few people here?
Many people have very different notions, J.D., of the term platform, and one of the first things that I do in the book is define it. And to me, it's not a book about technology platforms, sort of with a little p, like operating systems that have been around for 25 or 30 years. It's really a book about the platform as sort of a big P. And to that end, the platform is really just a series of integrated planks. So just by way of example, Google in 1998 really wasn't a platform. It was a very powerful and useful search engine. It's become a platform by adding different planks like YouTube, Google Maps, Google Docs, and Blogger, and Android, and all these other things. So it's really this sort of a bunch of different adjacent businesses.
You mentioned Android there, and all three of the companies in your book, Subtitle, Amazon, Apple, and Google, have their own mobile hardware now. I guess Facebook isn't quite there yet. How do you see this affecting or expanding their existing platforms?
Well, they're becoming, I think, I don't want to say table stakes, but a requirement if you want to take the platform with you. I'm old enough to remember when the technology wasn't nearly as portable, and that's not changing. Technology is becoming wearable. And if you look at things like Google Glass, which some people thought 2 years ago was sort of a pipe dream, well, it's becoming a reality, as we just saw from the I.O. conference. It's becoming more and more important for you to take the platform with you and not just access it when you go home to sit in front of a proper laptop or desktop.
Do you think Microsoft is aiming for some kind of new platform status with this Surface tablet that it's announced that it's doing? If people keep doing tablets, do you think the platform club may get a little bit too crowded?
In my opinion, Microsoft has really been a platform-based company for a long time, but it's really been focused on the enterprise. So people tended to use Microsoft products when they had to, i.e. at work, not because they necessarily wanted to. That's changing. With regard to the tablet space and the mobile world becoming more crowded, I would completely agree with you. And even if the Surface is somehow objectively better in terms of specifications or processing power or whatever, there's a lot to be said for the advantage in branding that Apple has done. So when you saw today, I think it was on Mashable, Steve Ballmer talking about going after Apple and crushing it, I kind of laugh because Microsoft just doesn't have that sort of cachet as a hip consumer brand. Maybe it will in 5 years, but it's really hard to see Apple falling from grace because it continues to innovate, you know, case in point, a mini iPad.
Yeah, and I think Microsoft made a lot of noise about the Zune, and well, look what happened to that one. We've got platforms going mobile with tablets and smartphones and people using them at work with the Microsoft-type stuff. What about these media streamers like the Nexus Q and the Apple TV? Is that like the last refuge of the platform to get into the home and the living room?
I hate to say the last one because in the book I try to make the point that there will be something after platforms, the same way with Google Glass there will be something after smartphones. And kudos to Google for recognizing that there actually will be a post-mobile world. In fact, Google's not alone. I want to say it wasn't Oakley, but it was another manufacturer that was actually doing something very similar to Google with Google Glass. So at some point I can see people, and Kurzweil writes about this and the singularity is near, really becoming fused with their technology, which of course I think is sort of leading to a bit of a backlash or a sort of a social media fatigue. You know, I think sometimes people get a little overwhelmed with the technology. They don't necessarily always want to be on a platform, but more and more, and feel free to disagree with me here, JD, I think that every company is becoming a tech company.
I have no opinion. I'm just sitting back and watching it and trying to figure out where everything's going myself. But in that vein, are there any new emerging platforms out there that we should keep an eye on? I know Yammer got a lot of notice because Microsoft bought it a few weeks ago, and Pinterest seems to be getting a lot of popularity. Are any of these something that's kind of on the horizon?
Oh, sure. And there are some that are actually already here, but they're maybe not as known as Pinterest. And I'm really intrigued by these funding platforms, or if you like, meta platforms. You probably heard of the Pebble Watch project on Kickstarter. For those people listening who don't know, they wanted to raise $100,000 to sort of create the watch as a platform. They wound up raising over $10 million. They actually had to stop
wow.
the project. So when I think about meta platforms, they're really platforms that spawn other platforms, and there are other ones. I've written a lot about this. There are actually going to be ways of testing products before you know if it would be successful. So, for example, I've got a Kickstarter project now for the book Breaking Bad, and my theory is that I could write the book and hope to sell it, or I could see if there's demand for it first, and then if there is, then I can write it. So that's sort of a, I hate to use the buzzword, but it is sort of a paradigm shift. So I think that it isn't just about technology. It really is about the future of business. We're going to be able to, I don't want to say predict because there will always be the luck factor, but we're going to take a large degree of the uncertainty out of whether or not a product will be popular.
It's almost like we're becoming an on-demand society. I guess we always have been.
To some extent, but that doesn't mean that, and I don't think you're implying this, but there still will be a need for thought leadership. You know, Steve Jobs obviously notoriously hated focus groups, and I can't see market research really dictating the design of a company like Apple. So if you still have a bold idea, I think it's a good thing, but sometimes you may want to innovate and you're not sure and you don't want to drop, you know, $200,000 on something if you're not sure if it's going to work. You know, why not drop a very small percentage, or why not start a Kickstarter project to see if there actually will be the demand?
Is there a way that companies can avoid platform burnout if there is such a thing? I'm just thinking, you know, Facebook has been known to annoy its user base with ill-thought moves like changing everyone's default email address or making privacy settings a moving target. And we've seen big companies like that come and go. I'm thinking of AOL, you know, who was very popular and then has dimmed a little bit as an online community. Is there something these companies can do to avoid that sort of demise?
I think the short answer is no. For what it's worth, I think that Facebook is really mitigating its risk. And if you look at, say, the partnerships that Apple has forged with Twitter, with Facebook, we're basically guaranteeing that Facebook will be around in some capacity. That doesn't mean that it won't annoy people by doing some of the things, JD, that you mentioned. But I think it was Khrushchev who said, the enemy is my friend. So that's what we're kind of seeing. We're seeing, well, Apple's going up against Google, and Facebook is kind of a pawn in that game. Ditto Microsoft. They're taking on Google with, say, search or productivity tools. So you see increased alliances between Facebook and Microsoft to tackle big bad Google. So stay tuned. I think that these platform wars are by no means finished.
Stay tuned is the operative word here. Phil, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. And for anyone out there who wants to know more about Phil's book, The Age of the Platform, we will have a link to the website, theageoftheplatform.com. And you can find that at poptechjam.com. So, Phil, thank you so much for stopping by to chat with us. Phil also blogs on his site, so you can read regular posts on the topic for anyone out there who's interested.
Thanks, JD.
That's about all the time we have here on this week's episode of Pop Tech Jam.
Why do you keep doing that? You're
what,
always ending this thing.
Well, you know.
I just started having fun. We had Phil on and everything.
The people got stuff to do.
Yeah, I guess they
did. You know, you got to get home to your kids.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
You know, I got to get a pizza, and, you know, we got stuff to do here.
Got to get pizza. You're always thinking about food.
It's delicious pizza.
Yes, it is.
For anyone, again, who wants to find out more about all the stuff we prattled on about, poptechjam.com is your destination.
Yes, it is. And you can find us on Google Plus if you want to do that whole social networking thing. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. We're out there, people. We're out there. We're on iTunes. We're on StitcherRadio.com. We're on Netopia. We're all over the place.
Everything but AM radio, I think.
Yeah, basically, we're working on it.
Yeah, working on it. So until next week, I'm JD Beersdorfer.
And I'm Pedro Rafael Rosado.
Thank you so much for downloading this episode of Pop Tech Jam.
Are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be. Are we rolling?
We are rolling.
Oh, wow. It's just, I love it when the big tape wheels go around.
My shoes are squeaky and it's annoying me.
Really? Did you not oil them this morning?
I see. It's like one of those things, like, of all the weird things.
Now, is there, like, mink oil for shoes or something you can put on there to grease them up, make them soft,
I don't know,
make them soft squeaking?
I'm going to find out. I mean, I know this really makes me sound like a freakazoid, but it really annoys the crap out of me.
Wow. You stick with the Converse high tops, Chuck Taylors, you will not
yes,
have that problem.
Yes. Now we say bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Goodbye.
Bye. Choke it. Choke it. I like them plumpy. I like them round with some dessert.